Good morning. It is Friday the 19th. I hope you're keeping well, wherever you are watching or listening in the world. I don't know about you, but I am so ready for the weekend already. This week just seems to have gone on forever. But quite luckily, this morning I've managed to watch something that's really brightened my day, which is what we're going to be talking about today. So I'm joined to talk about a new opera which has been premiered in a digital video format, and the people will be able to tell me more about this in a better way of defining that are coming on now. So I'm joined by the composer Samuel, and also by Antonio, who's the director. So thank you so much for being with me today. It really is greatly appreciated.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Definitely. So one thing I always try at the beginning of these conversations is what I try to frame as a great way of you telling us how you define yourself, which is very interesting, but it also saves me writing a full intro. So I'm intrigued very much so as to how you would both define yourselves and who you are in the world. So Samuel, would you like to go first, and who is it that you are?
I guess I would say I'm a composer, and just leave it at that.
Nice and simple. It's a good way of doing it. And what sort of things do you compose mainly? Is it mainly the opera world, or do you have a whole range of things?
It has been a pretty wide range. Lately, I've been specialising really in theatre and opera and vocal music in particular. In the past, I've done a lot of site-specific music and more conventional, orchestral, small ensemble. I guess you'd call it contemporary music, contemporary classical music. It's pretty wide ranging.
Very much so. And Tonya, who is it that you are, and what do you do in the world?
So yeah, I would say I'm a film director. I know a lot of people like to say filmmaker, but I suppose I direct films mostly. I do a lot of different things for myself, but mainly my main job and what takes up a lot of my time is working at Scottish Opera, making all the sort of promotional films for all the main stage shows, all the touring shows, and that's a range of different things. So from making little mini documentaries about the shows, and also making sort of more interesting promotional videos and stuff. So it's very, very interesting. But this is my first opera short with Sam. So it's been a really fun project to work on.
Very much so. So the project we're talking about is The Narcissistic Fish, which premiered last night, which we're going to get onto later on because it's something I really wasn't expecting to come out during this period, because we've been so used to either things being cobbled together or being relatively traditional live streams of shows in the past. This is something that I know was filmed before lockdown, but seems very much for it in a way that could go forward, which is really fascinating. But before lockdown itself, what was life looking like for you both? Because obviously you'd be, I guess, in the offices at Scottish Opera, or you'd be working with people on projects and various things. What would normal life look like to you during this time?
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Well, I never describe my life as normal in the first place, to be honest. So I don't think any day was quite the same. I mean, I think like many freelance composers, I spent most of my time conceiving projects, dreaming up ideas, you know, doing research, trying to get things to happen. That took up a huge amount of time. And then when something was happening, life would suddenly become about that. And I would spend almost every hour every day for a very intense period writing it or working on it. And then I also teach. I teach composition and piano privately, so I would spend the afternoons and some daytimes doing that, which is a wonderful thing to do as well, to sort of pass things on to the students, but also get out of the studio, which is a very lonely place to be, as you can imagine.
Yes, although I imagine it would have prepared you quite well for lockdown as well, having lots of studio time. It's quite, you've had a head start with this type of life.
That's true, yes. Although it's strange that there is obviously there's a very different atmosphere. The idea that you can't go out, that you can't do something, feels very different to deliberately choosing not to. And I think, like many people, I mean, I'm obviously missing the ability to do that. So, yes and no.
Yes, very much so. And Antonio, how about yourself? What would normal life look like for you at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, before lockdown, it would have been incredibly busy. It was, I would have been working on, I think what I was supposed to be working on was Midsummer Night's Dream, and would have been the gondoliers as well. And sadly, obviously, we haven't been able to go ahead with that. So I would have been busy kind of seeing what was going on in the studios and putting together videos for that. So which would have been a really exciting. We were going to do a sort of behind the scenes video for Midsummer Night's Dream, I think, which would have been really exciting. We hadn't done that before. Just that idea of being able to get behind the stage and see how it was all going to get put together. So hopefully one day that will come back and we'll be able to do that again and I'll be able to do that. But yeah, every day is really, same as Sam, every day is completely different, not normal.
Yes.
And it's always quite chaotic. But yeah, that's what lockdown, life before lockdown was, just a bit, very busy. Not that it's got any less busy after lockdown, but yeah, very, very different.
Definitely. I'm certain at some point there should be some more like making sourdough and napping during the day during lockdown, but it doesn't seem to quite have happened for most musicians just yet. It seems to have just been relentless that you're still on top of things. Fantastic. Well, as we mentioned, the one thing that premiered with Scottish Opera yesterday was the Narcissistic Fish. What would you describe the Narcissistic Fish as? Because it was not I wouldn't say it's an opera in a traditional sense where you'd go to a concert to see it. It's something very specific. So, Antonio, would you want to say what that would be?
Yeah, so it's an opera specifically designed to be filmed. It's hopefully never intended to be for the stage. It's almost completely, you can't inextricably take it apart and do it that way. So that's kind of what it is, really. Obviously, the storyline, which I'll try and do briefly, it's set in a kitchen with three characters, two brothers, Kai and Angus. Angus owns the restaurant, The Narcissistic Fish, and basically they are arguing about whether to go and see their dying father in hospital. And then in the middle we have Belle, who is very talented but kind of just sort of left to the side and has to really deal with these two brothers who are arguing all the time. Yeah, that's the kind of the storyline of it. And yeah, it's I think the idea behind the whole project was to really make something that was an opera but a film that would appeal to a different audience and also maybe engage our existing audiences in a different way, basically being able to have opera shown in a completely new way.
Very much so, and it's something that's really quite fascinating to watch and works incredibly well. I think it's very powerful. Sam, from your side of things, did you have to consider how you were composing for the piece that it was going to be a visual recorded format rather than being on a stage? Was there anything unique you had to do because of that?
Yeah, it was completely different. I mean, working with Jenny, the librettist, at the beginning of the process was as traditional as it got. And then as soon as the libretto was finished, we went into filmmaking mode, essentially. So Antonia developed a storyboard. And then from that point, I started to write the vocal lines with some kind of harmonic sketches and a tempo track that sort of matched what the storyboard was doing. And we actually then recorded the vocal parts. So all of that was done before any of the other music was written. I didn't know at that point what was going to happen in the soundtrack. I mean, I had some vague ideas. I knew it would involve kitchen sounds and things like that, but it was very much going to be a response to then the edit of the film. And then in post-production, I would come back in and write the rest of the score, which happened during the lockdown. And in the end, all of the score is electronic and using virtual instruments and samples, because there was just no way at that point that it could have been live, which was a shame. And, you know, because I didn't realize what was going to happen. I'd left all that till the end of the process to decide, but by then it was too late. So the first 2 or 3, 4 weeks of lockdown, I was writing that score. The amazing thing about that was that I was listening to the actual recordings of the singers while I was working. So, you know, it was a real visceral response to their voices and the cut of the film. Seeing the food being prepared and all of that kind of thing definitely had an impact. And I think if I'd done the score first, it wouldn't have turned out that way.
Very much so. And just for those of you who won't have seen it just yet, there are lots of elements where the chef's preparing food and the visuals of how they're doing it and cutting and slicing and ripping scales of fish is all then taken into the music and used as sort of percussive elements or various bits of musical texture. And I imagine going from a score and trying to film that would be incredibly difficult. But obviously seeing some of the footage you have, you could then replicate it, which I imagine it's quite an unusual way of round of working, of sort of trying to fit the music to what you've then seen on stage before.
Yeah, I think in live theatre that's pretty unprecedented. I mean, in the film world, I think it's probably quite normal. The whole thing of the soundtrack and the soundscape, the sound design is an illusion. It's all added afterwards usually. And actually that's what I wanted to do with this. I spoke to Antonia a lot about this and we agreed that, you know, we, in the end, we wanted to have control over that at the very end of the process, because it opened up, you know, more possibilities than if we'd had everything recorded at the same time.
Very much so. And am I right in thinking it was actually recorded in a restaurant itself, or was it a studio that you made look very, very convincing?
It was interesting. It was a place in Glasgow. It used to belong to, I think it was an old office block, and it had a kitchen inside it. Someone's obviously bought the office block and made it into a kind of film studio type place. So the front of the building is actually commandeered as a sort of police station. And upstairs, I think there was actually hospital beds. So it was a very, very odd building to be in. But yeah, we were lucky to get somewhere that actually had... that was large enough, because you really do need a lot of space, and also it had all working hobs and stuff, so that was great to be able to find that. Obviously we dressed it a fair amount to get that sort of hipster feel of a restaurant. I think doing it any other way as well, trying to get into we were there for 3 days, so trying to shut a restaurant down for 3 days, yeah. I think we'd taken off a lot of money, so yeah, it was great to have that space, actually. It was really, really handy.
Definitely. Well, it's very convincing. I was completely fooled, because one of my questions was going to be, how did you manage to film in such a confined space of a kitchen? And because normally they're such hectic environments. So I was completely fooled. So it looks fantastic, which is great.
Good.
Very much so. So it's obviously a very unique project. What sort of challenges did you face along the way in both the filming and recording and things that you wouldn't normally have expected to come across? Quite a tricky question.
I think, yeah, it's a tricky question. I mean, to be honest, at the beginning of this, I think neither of us, I think I will put my hand up and say I don't know that much about music. And I'm not sure Sam was that aware of filmmaking. So I think us trying to work out exactly how we were going to do it was quite difficult, because I was trying to explain to Sam how filming works, and you're trying to explain to me that once you have that opera, that's it, we can't move the vocal lines, you know, you're stuck to that. So that was really interesting for me. But yeah, just actually trying to work out how we were going to do it in the first place took a lot of discussing and a lot of like phoning and going, is this how you meant, or you know, maybe we need to do it this way. I think, because originally I think I'd thought we could try and do it, you know, live, but one, it's just a really complicated process, and it has such a massive impact on how you would film it, and I think also as well, having that, doing it that way also makes it feel a bit more, you'd have to do it in a very stagey way, because then you'd be confined to having somewhere that actually could record, where you could record something like that. So So yeah, there was an awful lot of like working out at the start. There was a huge amount of planning and testing and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think hopefully it's very convincing and that it's worked really well.
Very much so. And was anything for you, Sam, that you found particularly challenging with this project?
I think I agree with Antonio. A lot of the challenges came in the planning, and we were saying the other day that we can't believe nothing really went wrong when we actually started. And I think it's because, I mean, we literally planned for about a year, you know, to we sort of explored every possible pitfall. Well, what if this happens? What if we have this and then that goes wrong, you know, and actually it worked. So it's definitely a sort of illusion, I think, that it all just happened, because it didn't, you know, that's, but I think musically, for me, the challenge, but then actually what became most interesting was the Scots language and dialect. It's not familiar to me, and I had to speak to Antonio a lot about how certain words were said, and it's always difficult to set text and in a theatrical way and convey the right meaning. I mean, as a composer, you're almost like an actor. There are so many ways of actually delivering a line, and I often sort of sit there and go through them all in private and perform it to myself to try and work out where the emphasis needs to go and how to get the meaning across. But when you add in that extra element of another dialect and language, that becomes even more difficult. So that started as being a very technical process, almost word by word, trying to work it out. Once I got a sense of it, it became very liberating and enabled me to set words in ways that I couldn't do in English.
Very much so. It's the first time I've seen an opera in Scots, which I thought was absolutely fantastic, and it really did convey elements of emotion that may have been different in regular English dialect. I know that Scots seems to be having a bit of a revival at the moment, and I remember I watched a Frankie Ball documentary where he was going around all of Scotland, and at one point he stopped in a prison where they were doing language lessons for Scots, and then trying to sort of find ways of, say for example, it's something that it's not showcased in the media as much, so you won't get news reports in Scots or weather reports or sports reports, and they were using these classes to try and reimagine what would be that would be like. Was it a deliberate choice that you wanted to go for Scots and to try and showcase this, and is there something that you're wanting to repeat in future?
I think it was this Jenny Fagan actually really, I think originally she thought about doing it in English and then decided actually it'd be interesting to do it in Scots. It's specific to Leith, which is obviously famously Irvine Welsh, uses that dialect. It's very specific to the kind of train spotting dialect. But yeah, she sort of commandeered that. But I think it was... I really liked it. As soon as I thought that she was going to do it in Scots, I just thought that was a fantastic idea. And I think it's interesting because it's true that in Scotland for a very, very long time, you were told not to say things in certain ways in schools. You were kind of told off for a very long time. And it's quite interesting now that language is now being in schools is very much being like, no, you are actually allowed to say things a different way. And also just also what's lovely about it is just feeling that it does come from a different place, that it is a language in itself. And obviously there's many, many different dialects across Scotland. You know, you really do have different words across the entire country. So it was lovely to be able to have something like this, and also it was the way that she's written it is very poetic. You know, it's I think that's what really works, and the Scots kind of helped with that. But just going back to working with Sam on the text, I did find that quite a funny process about knowing what words would work and what wouldn't, and just knowing that with opera you have to make sure that you have that emphasis even before you, you know, obviously with actors, you can go in there and you can tell them how to say stuff or how to think about things, and then they'll express it. But that was fascinating for me, that it has to all be, all the emphasis has to be in the vocal line when you write it. So that was really interesting. Just having Sam phone me up and say, what does "you can" mean, and where would you add that, and how would that sound, was really funny to me, because I'm from Edinburgh and have used "you can" a few times. So yeah,
it's always the words you don't expect. Sorry, Sam.
No, that reminds me, that was a really difficult line to set, because it's kind of a throwaway thing and completely reliant on actually being spoken to work. But I persevered with it. I mean, I hope it comes across. But you know, it's so difficult. You know, you sort of sit there beating time and trying to deliver this line and make it sound convincing, and then transcribe and then sing it back to yourself, and it just sounds really forced. That happens in all languages, but if it's an unfamiliar one, it's so difficult. It really is.
Very much so. And for you, Sam, was this the first time you've had to work with a language or dialect that's completely new to you, or is this an experience you've had before?
I've done it once before. I did an orchestral song cycle for Scottish Opera, and it was a sort of anthology of texts that I put together. There was Maeterlinck, that was French, some German, some Portuguese, and English, all interspersed. And it was the most difficult thing I've ever done in terms of setting. And I think I probably made some pretty big errors along the way, but it makes you realize how instinctive language is. And, you know, spending months and months simply trying to understand how something will be set. And of course, if it's your own language, you realize that you can set this one thing in 20 different ways. So if you have a limited understanding of another language and you're struggling to do it in one way, you know, that would potentially cause a lot of misunderstandings. I don't think it's, I mean, I probably... I might try and do it again, but I would probably want to work very closely with someone who was a natural speaker in that language, you know, as a collaborator to make it work.
Very much so, and it's a very unique experience. But I imagine it forces you to sort of think more about musical lines and the way language reflects in it, in a way that you may not necessarily process when you're so used to thinking and creating in your own language, etc. Well, obviously, yeah. The premiere was last night, which was must have been very exciting as an element. What sort of reception have you had so far to it? For me, it was something that it's very unique, and I was completely blown away by just how unique it was in this moment.
I think it's early days at the moment. I haven't actually seen much of it. I've been trying to ignore my social media for a while, so yeah, not at the moment anyway, but other than that, obviously friends and family and all that, so that's been lovely to be able to share it with them as well.
Very much, and I guess as well the fact that you can now showcase this far and wide for over the coming weeks and months and things, it can connect to more and more people. And I imagine sort of elements, the way you're trying to get to audiences who may not necessarily have come to a traditional formal opera setting, this is something that can really break down those barriers, which is fantastic. What are the biggest takeaways that you've both had from this project that you're all really proud of, that you've achieved during it?
I've really enjoyed working with the singers. This whole experience has been incredible. I've never I've never directed an opera before. But the singers were amazing to work with. To say, Charlie Drummond, Arthur Bruce, and Mark Nathan were Scottish Opera's emerging artists, and it was amazing just to actually have the right number of people and the right characters. We were very lucky in that Arthur Bruce, for example, was actually from Leith, So so he had the accent down absolutely. That was just fantastic, just to be able to get lots of rehearsal time and sit and talk to them about characters and the story and discuss all kinds of stuff. That was just a brilliant experience for me, and obviously getting to work with Sam on creating a brand new piece of work. It was just, I wouldn't like to say it's not ever been attempted before, but it was certainly very, I think hopefully it's a very new thing that I really hope that people will, people who may be into short film as well, who haven't, who've not necessarily gone to see an opera, might think, oh, actually this is interesting, I didn't know that opera could be like this. And hopefully, you know, perhaps go and see the main stage stuff or try and seek it out a bit more. That's kind of what I would hope from this. But yeah, I mean the whole project has been brilliant, really. I've really, really enjoyed working on it.
Fantastic. And Sam, for you, with any sort of major takeaways you've had from this experience?
I share Antonia's view on all of that. I mean, the first thing, I mean, the singers were just wonderful and we were so, so lucky. And should also mention Susie Wapshot, who was coaching and MDing, and we had so much rehearsal time. I've never had so much rehearsal time for anything, and it was just wonderful because the nuance that we could go into, you know, we explored every possible delivery of every line and went into so much depth, you know, way beyond what may sort of be seen in this 30-minute film. And I just wish and I hope that live work can have that rehearsal time in the future, especially for new work. I think a shared experience among performers and composers of new work is that, you know, rehearsal is usually so short that you sort of just get to the cusp of getting on to the kind of, oh, well, you know, how will that be interpreted level of things? And then it's time to perform because there's so much technical work to do. And what I've learned, or I guess had reaffirmed, is just how important rehearsal time is. And that was fantastic. And I guess, I mean, it's very difficult as the creator to stand back and see what we've done in a way, but we certainly, I don't think we intended to redefine anything or kind of, you know, do an alternative take. What we wanted to do was make a great film, actually, and a great piece of work. And perhaps accidentally we may have kind of launched a potential new genre, who knows? I mean, I certainly think that, I was saying to somebody else, you know, just like theatre and film, work together, why not have opera and opera film? You know, they're completely different yet use a lot of the same language, and people could work in both. We'll see if there's an audience for it. We'll see what kind of feedback we get, but it's been such a positive process that I would definitely love to do another one, I think.
Fantastic. And you've led perfectly onto my last question as well, which is, for the foreseeable future, lockdown is obviously going to be an issue and social distancing and traditional opera concert going formats are going to be very different. Do you think that the method you found with this new genre of opera film is something that potentially could either fill the gap in the meantime before live performances return, or again, as you say, potentially be another format going forward that we really go into during this time, but then continue afterwards?
Possibly a bit of both. I think obviously this project took a particularly long time, probably because at the start we weren't fully aware of what we were doing. And I would hope so. I would hope. It's been an interesting time in terms of how innovative people have had to become to actually be able to. There's some fantastic things happening on mobile phones and technology and stuff, and you do feel like the technology is really going to push forward, and I think a lot of not just opera companies, but a lot of the theatre and stuff really are going to have to innovate to be able to survive. Not trying to get into a bigger conversation about that. It's not the only thing. Obviously, we want to get back to that live experience. I think I'm not the only one in thinking that lockdown is is getting quite tiring now. And I'd love to have that live experience, even just being around other people in smaller venues, I think, as well. There must be some way of doing it. But certainly from my point of view, this project was always in my mind something that was exciting from the point of view of just getting opera into a different realm. And that was, you know, had nothing to do with lockdown, really. Just the idea of being able to show it in a completely different way, and encouraging and just encouraging other people to look at it in a different way. But yeah, I think innovation is definitely the way to go forward. Once we get back into live performances, I still, as Sam said earlier, I still see that there's very much a scope to continue this alongside all our live work.
Very much so. It's certainly something very fascinating and a genre that could really help out our industry during this period. So on to the shameless plug element of the podcast. If you're listening to this or watching this and you want to go away and watch and listen to The Narcissistic Fish, where can you do it on the internet?
So you can go to scottishopera.org.uk and you'll see Narcissistic Fish there somewhere. and it's also on our Scottish Opera YouTube page as well. So that's where you can find it. But yeah,
fantastic.
And you can come and join us as well on our Twitter and Facebook and Instagram as well.
Brilliant. And all of those are Scottish Opera as well, for the address handles for those. Also for yourselves individually, if say for example we want to hear some of your music, Sam, where can we find some of your other music and performances, etc.?
It's a good question. I have a website and I'm struggling to remember the address, but if you type my name into Google, it should come up. I think it's bordoli.co.uk. Yes, it is.
It'll be on the internet somewhere. Google's a wonderful tool.
Yeah, Google is the answer. Just type me into Google.
Exactly. I think the days of typing in web addresses word for word are probably in the past now.
I think they are, yeah.
Definitely. And Antonia, how about yourself? Is there anywhere we can find out more about your other directing work?
Yeah, you can find me, I'm usually on Twitter, but I got rid of my website a long time ago. You can find me on Vimeo under Antonia Caterina. You'll find me there as well.
Fantastic. Well, Samuel Bordoli and Antonia Bain, thank you so much for being with me today. It really is hugely appreciated. And I genuinely can't recommend watching it enough. It's been something that was genuinely brightened my morning so much. Not just seeing the visual operatic side, but also hearing Scots paired with music as well, as something that's really powerful. So I can't recommend it highly enough. This is the bit where you get to laugh at me because I have no idea how to end these, really. So just kind of fizzle out. So yeah, I hope you have a great rest of your day if you're listening. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.